More than bananas, how the Christian faith works for me and the whole universe. Written and read by Glenn Myers. This is the complete text of the book in 17 podcast episodes. Introduction. I wrote this book between mid-August and mid-October 2013, after a strange period in my life when doctors saved my life on 3 separate occasions in 4 years. I've never written an easier book. I think it was because I've been thinking and blogging about this stuff for a long time. It describes how the Christian faith works for me, and in my view, for the whole universe. The title comes from my belief that current science, almost magical as it is in explaining lots of things, doesn't quite do it as an explanation of who we are really. It gives a fine account of why I eat bananas, is less good on why I puzzle about how to live a meaningful life. I hope you enjoy the book, the podcasts. Feel free to email if you'd like to continue the discussion. I hope to put some of the questions and responses up on a website somewhere, if that's okay. And my web address is www.glennmyers.info. Chapter 1. The problem. It's odd that we exist at all, yet we usually ignore this because, one, it's really too hard to think about, and, two, we have many other problems that take our attention. Here are some of mine. I'm on holiday. Was that a grey hair I saw this morning? Is it too chilly to sit outside? Can I be bothered to make another cup of coffee before lunch? Yet perhaps we ought to try to think about the big stuff, at least once in our lives. Today I'm writing this looking out over Pembrokeshire Hills. Today, a different today, you are reading what I've written. We are linked across time by a thread of text and thought. The fact we're each thinking thoughts is perhaps evidence enough that you and I both exist. How can we exist? We have no idea how or why this happened, or what to do about it. Instead of nothingness, there's us. Instead of a blank oblivion, there are celebrity TV shows, duck-billed platypuses, galaxies, music, cheese, and you and I. There's got to be a story behind this. How was this allowed to happen? How did nothing become something? And how did the something become this? Science takes us part of the way, a dazzling story, now well known in outline. The start of the universe in a burst of light, the development of complex atoms, a happy random arrangement of organic molecules that leads to the self-replicating machine called life. Mistakes in the self-replicating machine, which means it can develop new forms. Then squillions of years of adaption and growth, and finally, some hairy beasts wandering the African savanna in search of soft fruit. My problem is that all this wonderful scheme only explains a little bit of us. It accounts for my liking for bananas and sex, because both these things help preserve my genes for the next generation. It means I'm pretty darn good at shopping, especially down a fruit aisle where intelligence matters for nutrition. You won't find me mistaking an avocado for a mango. In all this, I'm evolution's child. But why do I hope and dream? Why do I hum music? Why do I long to meet God? Why does death, so normal a part of the cosmic order, as necessary as compost, feel like a rip in my personal space-time? Why do I love? How come, when the evolutionary tree separated, one branch became an orangutan, but the other started to write poetry? What happened to us that we became so extraordinarily different? We yearn to scratch our bums along with the whole itchy-bottomed creation, but only we resist the urge because we're self-conscious about it. Where did all this self-consciousness come from? Why are we so alike and yet so unlike? are evolutionary first cousins. It must be that evolution is only half an answer, and it's the boring half. All the colour and variety of the evolved world are just rejigged kaleidoscope patterns compared with the astonishing fact of our consciousness, our yearnings, our humanity. That pushes me to thinking that someone had a hand in creating me and you. Someone with spunk and personality. Mere evolution is chemical, mechanical, digital. It's also humorless and soulless. I'm not that way. Neither are you. I may be 70% water, but I am more than just a well-hydrated bouquet garni. So we're suggesting a someone who created me. Let me, in a naughty thrill of political incorrectness, call that someone a him. I've no reason to do this, beyond a desire not to get sidetracked. If a creator is going to create, he must contain within himself every possibility of maleness and femaleness, and much else besides. So we can't call him him, since it excludes his herness or her for the equal and opposite reason. Yet to call this someone an it seems rude. And it is less than human, not more. So, since the thought police are better at destroying language than improving it, and haven't left us with a decent alternative, I'm going to call this someone a him, get it over with, and move on. If we suggest a creator, we may as well let him create the whole lot. Let's, in other words, have a proper creator. One who starts with nothing except himself and creates everything without help. Annoyingly for many people, this view sits well with current science. Everything points back to a Big Bang, a moment of creation, less than 14 billion years ago. I'm old enough to remember that this theory used to be controversial. We used to have two theories about origins, a continuous creation or steady state model, and the Big Bang model. The Big Bang model had much against it. It was dreamt up by a cosmologist who had the bad taste to be a Catholic priest, and who could therefore be accused of reintroducing the idea of creation via a scientific backdoor. Deciphering the evidence for the Big Bang took lots of hard maths and a long investigation to decide whether a radio signal was really the dying echo of creation's song or pigeon droppings on the aerial. But eventually the accumulating evidence became overwhelming. The steady state theory wobbled and decayed into the nothingness from whence it arose, and the physicists trudged into line. It's embarrassing for a physicist, but these things have to be faced. Some of the most brilliant theoretical and observational work through the 20th century led us round an unexpected corner and smack into the face of a creator. Many physicists hope this intolerable Big Bang theory will not last. Perhaps it will not. Some work hard to overcome it, but it is orthodoxy for now. So our picture is of a creator who set off the cosmic fireworks in an insouciant and impenetrable display of cosmic brilliance. Then, somewhere along the line, perhaps in a dribble, perhaps in a flash, he poured something of his own personness into the evolving dust. Part of creation became like him. Inquisitive, creative, random, caring, free. The dry and barren universe hosted souls. That picture goes somewhere towards explaining us, not as far as we'd like, but it's a start. It also spawns a lot more questions, which the smallest child can ask and the smartest adult cannot answer. Here are three. One, if there's a creator, where did he come from? Two, why did he do what he did? Why does he do what he does? And three, why is there both happiness and unhappiness in the world? Well, that's for the next podcast.